So what I decided to read was Psalm 37. So I guess you can follow along if you want to. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it will only cause harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, they have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A man that has a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into the smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those who are blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those who are cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God are in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, ye shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passeth away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. So I think that's all I was going to read. Anything can be added or commented upon.
Amen, Brother Dito. It says it all. Not much to say. It's a beautiful psalm. We need it. One verse I'll comment on that. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus uses that in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek today is a pushover. You know, oh, it's meek. It's a pushover, soft, doormat. But meekness is not weakness. And I think it means one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is meekness. I always use it as being gentleness, but I think I'm wrong because it wouldn't repeat itself, meekness and then gentleness. Maybe someone has a better concept of what true meekness is. And one example I think of course, is Numbers 12. Now Moses was the meekest man on earth. And in the context of that is, right there, is what Aaron and Miriam, hey, you think you're big stuff. We're just as good as you, Moses. And then she was struck with leprosy. And then Moses, instead of saying, good, told you so, and don't mess with me, he entreated God, oh, please, take away her leprosy, please. And so that was meekness. It controlled strength and gentleness. May we all have that spirit. The Lord be magnified.
To read on a little further there in the same thought, that was verse 11 that you quoted, Brother Robert, verse 12, in a couple following verses there, I'll read. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. I think Moses understood how that works. It's why he could plead for mercy for those who spoke against him. And I find if we have that confidence in the Lord that he will judge things rightly and he will recompense. Revenge belongs to him. It is a great help for us to walk in meekness if we understand that. Something I definitely need to grow in. I saw a saying this past week that gave me a lot to think about. So there's two types of people in the kingdom: those who are humble and those who are about to be humble. And that just gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah, thanks for reading that, brother. Just some thought that stood out to me just starts in the very beginning, the first three words. Do not fret. How often do we find ourselves fretting? Do not fret because of evildoers. And then verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Those are two opposite things. I think when we don't trust in the Lord, we find ourselves fretting. And then verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And it again says, do not fret in verse 7. And then in verse 8 says, cease from anger. And it says, again, do not fret. It only causes harm. And so seems pretty clear that he's trying to tell us not to fret. Doesn't do any good. Helps nothing, and that we're allowed to trust in the Lord, to rest in the Lord, and to wait patiently on him. And I think if we do that, I think that'll be a blessing for us.
I just had one thought I'll share briefly. There's a common theme in the United States regarding the poor and people who are panhandling or begging. And it seems like because it's so hard to figure out who's really in need and who's not, and if you spend any time trying to minister to the poor, one thing that you pick up on pretty quick is there's, especially in the cities, I don't know about, you know, out in the country, but in the cities there just are a lot of programs to help meet the needs for these people. And I think it was a discovery Brother Daniel made that really kind of poured water on my enthusiasm in it. There was an encampment behind a Walmart in Springfield, and boy, we really thought we had the corner on the market. You know, we were bringing people toothbrush and undergarments and things like that, basic hygiene stuff. And in this encampment, there were just mounds of those things rotting. And it was just super discouraging. One tendency I think we have here in our country is to try to justify not helping the needy. And one verse that this morning that Brother Dito read that really stood out to me, I think because I've misunderstood it in the past, is verses 25 and 26. I'll just read them again. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Now, in the past, when I've read that and thought about that, and I've heard people use it this way, it's often used as a justification not to give to people who are holding up signs about the Lord or that God will bless them if they help this poor person, or to discredit somebody saying, you know, God bless you to you after you help them. And they would cite this verse saying that the Lord's descendants, you know, like, never seen the Lord's descendants begging bread. But I don't think that's what it's saying. I think it's saying that a righteous man will not have descendants that need to beg, and that righteous man is ever merciful and lends, and that his descendants are blessed. I guess mostly my comment is just related to how that struck me this morning, that I don't think it's how I've looked at it in the past. And I just think we should all exercise caution, as tempting as it is to try to justify not helping the poor. The reality is we just can't know what their needs are, and certainly will be taken advantage of. But I think the Lord will sort all that out, and I think he honors a heart that's willing to help.
Yeah, thanks for that, Max. Yeah, it is a curious statement that David, I assume David wrote that psalm where he says that, what you're saying. And the reason why we know that can't be true, here's the words of Jesus. There was a certain rich man, that's Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried to by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham far off with Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. And I think some of us know the rest of the story. So Jesus doesn't tell us anything about the state of this beggar. Was he a worshiper of God? Was it anything? But it does show that he's sharing in the inheritance with Abraham. And the man was begging for bread, and he didn't have bread. So that tells us right there that an interpretation of what this saying in this psalm, that God's people will never be begging for bread, that can't be the right understanding of that. Could that just be David's observation and he records it? Or is this a statement from God through the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of his prophet? You know, I just think that very clear story that Jesus tells us that you can't interpret it to say that God's people will never be hungry. So not to mention, I mean, throughout so much of the New Testament, it's always about those in some church somewhere, like I think 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is the perfect place where you see Macedonia and all the different churches mentioned, and Paul is encouraging them to, there's needs in Jerusalem, you know, and he's commending them for helping them or whatever. So anyway, it's just a thought I would share.